Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2023. We are reading from the Big Book on page 60, the second paragraph down. Today's readers include Mary P. reading the 12 Steps, Kathy B. reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Eileen M., Reggie O., and Kara L. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and making announcements is Betsy H. The previous two meetings share IDs. For yesterday, Sunday, February 12th, the special edition, the meeting number is 19,954 or 19954. And this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. East Coast time, the number is 19,955 or 19955. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service this morning. My name is Mary P., and I'm from Austin, Texas. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. Would Kathy B. please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes. Good morning. I'm Kathy B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Oklahoma, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there has been one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There are no abstinent requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 60, the second paragraph, and I will ask Eileen M. to get us started. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Kathy. My name is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Wow, that's a lot there, and that's been one of my favorite paragraphs in the Big Book, actually. It's very powerful, and to me it's like a summation of the program, really. And, you know, the first one, A, I had to be, you know, convinced that I was a real compulsive overeater, and that, you know, I could not manage my life. And I'm so grateful when I came into the Big Book meetings because I learned that the unmanageability is the spiritual malady, and that's a chronic condition, and that has to be treated every day. And sorry, my voice is kind of weird. And, you know, the whole thing about, it's like the big book asks us, like, you know, where and how are we to find this power? And the reason, you know, we work the steps is to find power that will restore our sanity. And, you know, before coming to the big book meetings, I was attending face-to-face meetings that did not use the big book. And, you know, the message was that the solution was to just, you know, make 3 phone calls a day, go to 3 meetings, and, you know, use the fellowship as the program. And, you know, those are all really good things, but that alone, you know, didn't help me. I mean, it was helpful, but, you know, it didn't really treat the unmanageability, basically. I've often heard at these meetings that the tools really are the handrails by which we work the steps. I needed more than that. You know, I needed more than just the tool. So, it does work. It does seem to work for some people to not work the steps, but not with me because of, you know, the unmanageability piece. So thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Eileen. Okay, I'm now going to take names of people who want to share, and I'd like to remind you that if you shared in the last 2 days, meaning I would say Friday and Sunday, then please step aside and let us hear from others first. Who would like to share today?
Kara B. from Michigan.
Sarah B.
Tamara C.
Kara C.
I'm just long distance.
Who else would like to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Karen KZ from Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Jody E.
Jody E. Anyone else? Okay, that's a great list. I have Sarah B., Kara C., Deborah G., Karen KZ, and Jody E. Sarah B., please go ahead.
Thank you so much. My name is Kara B., spelled with a K.
K-A-R-A. Oh, sorry.
No worries. From Michigan. I've only shared on this meeting once before, but I just wanted to say that I am a compulsive overeater, and I cannot manage my own life for sure, but God can, and he does when I seek him. And thank God there is a solution. I wanted to just claim my seat today and say that. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Kara B. And Kara C., please share with us.
Hey, this is Tamara C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Missouri. And
Kara,
as I was looking at,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. As I was looking at the ABCs, I kind of wanted to focus for my own sake to remind myself on C, just that God is the one. God is enough. And God is relieving my food obsession, but also my life problem, my thinking problem. And so I was thinking about, well, how am I seeking God? And it was just helpful for me to review I love to do the on awakening prayer. I just kind of, it's such a habit now. I love it. Like, it's so automatic that as soon as I wake up, whether my alarm went off or I woke up without my alarm, I'd start going right into prayers. Even it'll happen so automatically. Even if I wake up in the middle of the night, I kind of like am sort of doing it in my sleep as I drift off. Without any intention, I just realized, I must have thought it was morning. So that's one way that has been really helpful for me in seeking God. And another way is I listen to the shares on meetings. I call my fellows and listen to what's helpful to them. Listening to speakers, I hear something that helps me connect to my higher power, and I bring it into my practice that day or for longer. Another way is doing my 10 steps and my nightly review to notice what is obscuring my vision of God and God's will, and keep uncovering that so I can keep asking God to remove it. And I just reach for God all day. Like, sometimes it's as simple as a breath, just a breath. And maybe a short prayer, maybe an image. I have a lot of images that help me, like my higher power's hand on my shoulder, or just my higher power right there, and I just reach out and grab my higher power's hand. Just something that just helps me speak my higher power. And or it might be a short phrase that I heard in somebody share, you know, like, God, I'm yours, I trust you. And the last thing that came to mind is I work with others, and this helps recenter me in the truths that I'm learning about God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Tara C. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much, Kathy, for leading us today, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here with us this morning. This is a lovely place to be. And I was remembering when my sponsor took me through the steps, you know, she had me really focus on the first step principle, which was honesty, because I wasn't honest. And really getting honest that I, you know, was a compulsive overeater, you know, because I was telling myself I wasn't, and continually relapsing, and that I have no power, that I have no power. That's, you know, my dilemma, lack of power. And it was like a light bulb, a dimmer switch, you know, I need to get some power. And then in that place of, you know, looking at dishonesty, I saw my unmanageability because of my dishonesty. And then when I went through the rest of the steps to continue to connect with power, to have a deepening relationship with power, and to realize by going through those steps how much power that power had, you know, it was beautiful. And that it wasn't something that I did, it was something that was done to me by that power. And then after that was a continual connecting with that power, you know, enhancing that relationship and using, connecting, being reminded by meetings, being reminded by readings, being reminded by prayer and meditation, being reminded by my sponsor and other fellows about staying connected, you know, because that's where I was going to have that power. And I love my relationship and connection with power today. That doesn't mean I don't get off the beam and I get into self, which I do, a self-reliance or self-centeredness or all that. The beautiful thing is, though, I have that in me that I can go back to power again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Karen KZ, please share with us. Karen, press star 1 to unmute. Are you there, Karen? Okay, she must be having difficulty. Jody E., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, yes, beautiful description. Our description of the alcoholic makes clear three pertinent ideas: that we are compulsive overeaters and cannot manage our own lives. That certainly has been true for me. As a compulsive overeater, my life becomes unmanageable when I'm in the food. Very, very quickly, my life is unmanageable. I can relate to this, no problem. probably no human power could relieve my compulsive eating. And that was also true. I certainly tried to manage it. I have journals dating back to my teens in which I'm writing about trying to control my food. And I try and I just cannot do it. And neither can anyone else manage it for me. I need a higher power to do that for me. God could and would if he were sought. Again, God, as you conceive of God. It doesn't have to be the traditional God that you were raised with. It can be the God of your own understanding, which for me is this mysterious universal spirit that I don't fully understand, but when I pray, when I turn my will and my life over to the care of this power, and I work these steps, including praying for knowledge of God's will for us, not just for me, but for us, and the power to carry that out, more and more, slowly but surely, I become aligned with this flow of good in the universe. I start to participate in the goodness of the universe. And that helps me so much and enables me to be happily abstinent along with all of you. I couldn't do it without you, but the fellowship is part of that God for me. So in gratitude for these three ideas that are pertinent and that when I remember them help me to stay recovered. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. we are sharing, for those who came in late, on page 60 of the big book, the second full paragraph. And I'm happy to welcome more names now. Who would like to share?
This is Karen K. I'm back. I had to hang up and call back again. That would not.
Okay, Karen. We'll get you first. Thank you.
Okay.
Who else would like to share?
Hi, it's Chevy.
Chevy. Okay, Chevy, your last initial?
Is F. F as in.
Okay, great. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
From Ohio.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. Who else would like to share?
Carol S.
Carol S.
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. Sorry, Cheryl. Got it.
No worries. Thank you.
We can take a couple more. Would anyone else like to share today?
Gaylene.
Gaylene
B.
Gaylee's B. Thank you. Anyone else?
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Okay, let's stop there and see how we do. Everyone, please mute except Karen K. Go ahead, Karen.
This is Karen KZ from Missouri, and I love these three statements, and it's amazing that I've been in the program since 1987, and we read How It Works all the time, but I said all that, but I really didn't get it in the way I have it now. And I tried everything to try to fix myself and control other people, so I certainly could not manage my life, and I was trying to manage everybody else's. And that I went to therapy, I did all kinds of things, but no human power could have relieved my compulsive eating and my unmanageable life. but that God could and would if he were sought. And as I say, I always agreed with that, and I would say if and when he were sought. And I thought I did that, but I did not really do it in the way that really worked before. And now in this program, my sponsor taught me that anytime that I'm upset, anytime I'm not at peace, I just ask God. I ask God, I invite God in and say, please remove this and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I have to listen. And what's been really effective for me, and it's a daily thing that has helped me stay in relationship and allow God to reveal to me, is the two-way prayer. And I mean, I do that every single morning. Sometimes I go to a meeting about it, but I do it every morning, and it's where I just get still and listen. You know, God, what do you want to tell me? And I am just amazed. I am every day, I'm just amazed at stuff that's inside of me that's hidden that I don't even know about, that is revealed to me and in a loving, caring way, guiding me to the way really out of my suffering and misery, and to rely on God, to really trust in God. And that's my deal. I have not trusted. I said the words, but I have not trusted. And now, because of all the good things that are happening, I'm very aware of the miracles that God is working in my life every day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you, Karen K. Chevy S., please share with us.
Hi, it's Chevy. It's so great to be on this meeting. I didn't hear the reading, but I'm getting by osmosis of everyone's shares what the reading may have been about. And, you know, I'm just going to bounce this back to my day yesterday. And I was hosting a party and cooking with my family. And it was a high-strung day. I was just on my feet all day and in that doing mode. And it was very interesting for me to, at the end of the day, take stock and realize that I was feeling slippery with the food. You know, thank God I was pretty abstinent. You know, I didn't eat anything or pick up any more than I, you know, than is in my plan. But I was making a lot of choices around when to eat and how to eat it. And I checked that in with my sponsor, sent her a text, and her response was just to me, you know, God talking through her. And, you know, where she just said, thank you for your honesty. And, you know, this is program, how we just, you know, want to stay in awareness and see how we can, you know, how I can keep clear of the food so that I can keep my relationship open with God. And it was interesting how this morning I got up early to do my meditation, and I just follow a meditation that works for me, where I begin just by clearing, like, bringing in God's light, and I'll just literally put my hands at the different areas. And it was taking me a long time, and until it hit me, God gave me that feeling of, are you letting go? Are you letting? And I literally had to at every point tell, you know, to say, oh, I am giving all of me to God. And there's so many things that transpired over the last week where just a lot of different stuff coming at me. And I had to consciously just say, God, I'm here. I'm showing up. I'm letting you have all of me. And I had to say that over and over again, constantly, as I was getting to my ears, to my head, and I literally, as I'm putting my hands by my ears, I'm like, I can't even hear you, God. Like, I felt the blockages. And then as soon as, you know, God brought me into it, I was just so grateful for that time with him. And that's what I'm learning with this. With this particular program, like, I'm coming from a food program for many years. I guess that's where I was then. And now I'm so grateful to really come from the inside, learn to turn to God and hear him speak. I mean, ever since I was born, I learned how to talk to God. Religion was something we were born and bred on. But to actually learn how to hear God, I mean, that's a relationship. There's hearing and there's praying. I mean, to me, this is so amazing, is someone going to stop me? I don't know where I'm at.
You have 1 minute.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when I hear God say, just especially when I'm around family and there's kind of tension and there's maybe competition, And I hear God telling me, you know, you have a relationship with me. Just keep focused on that. Keep focused that we have this running rapport going on. We have this, and I'm here to guide you. So, you know, do you really need to sign up to the rules around you, to who's, you know, who's saying the smartest thing, whose opinion matters? And that's, of course, you know, default things, but I'm grateful to be able to be building that depth of a relationship where I can start coming from the inside.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Chevy S. Leslie M. from Ohio, please share with us.
Good morning, guys. I'll assume you can hear me unless you tell me otherwise. So I feel, just wanted to share, I feel so grateful just to be able to share during this meeting. Usually I'm listening to this meeting recorded. And I really can't add to what's here. I'll just say that in the beginning, you know, I really focused on the unmanageability of my food, but I'm grateful really to realize the unmanageability of my life. Just literally 24 hours without, you know, prayer, meditation, and contact with my fellows. And I'm not really feeling too good about the way the day went, even if it was really a good day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Cheryl S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada and compulsive overeater. I have got to live today and see that God could and would if he were sought. And I'm finishing my 12-step, and everything's been going along great. And I decided to compete in a horse show this coming up weekend. And it's a different type of a horse event than what I'm used to. It involves a lot of different equipment that some of it I don't have, some of it I've not used on my horse. And so I found myself totally running the show, becoming the director. Also, I just kept saying, because this is new, you know, all I want to do is be a good partner to my horse. It's not about winning. It's not about placing. But my character defects of self-seeking and pride, boy, they just came flying up. You know, even though I was saying, and in my heart, that truly is what I want, is to just be a good partner. But I have, I'm just super competitive, and I'm going by myself. I'm driving pulling our trailer, which is large. So I've got, you know, those thoughts, and I was just trying to manage everything. And yesterday, it was like every person I encountered, my family, were just annoying me by their presence. You know, I couldn't even do a 10th step because I couldn't even say what they were doing that was bugging me. I was just bugged. I was just irritable, restless, and discontent. And I spent the whole day that way, and I went to bed that way. And then this morning, I just realized, you know what? You're not putting your program first. You're not living in C. You're not letting God, you know, God can and will if I let him. I took the whole thing into my meditation and my prayer today. And I'm just going to let the day unfold according to God's will. My program is going to be my priority, not the horse show, not any of the things that go around it. And I'm just so thankful to have this program and to be reminded that I do not have to be the director of the horse show, that I can just go with my horse and the two of us can just have fun. That's what it's supposed to be, just a fun, interesting weekend. But the only way I can do that is if I put my program first and I let God run the show, not me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leslie. Cheryl S., please share with us.
That was Cheryl S.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I had you crossed off. I'm sorry, Cheryl.
Okay.
Thank you for
Thanks.
Your share.
Okay.
Gaylene B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Gaylene B. from Idaho, recovering in Arizona for the winter. These three pertinent ideas are so important for me. They were difficult for me to grab a hold of. First, I struggled with, I was positive that I could in some way cowboy up and come up with enough grit to overcome and control my way of eating. I had great control in other areas of my life, so I really struggled with that for a long time. I felt like I had a relationship with my God, but also struggled with the concept of surrendering what I thought was my human power to His power and letting that power work in my life. And I've recently realized the importance at the end of closing my day in abstinence. It's been an important part of my prayer and evening meditation to recognize that it was not me that made it through the day. It was that higher powers, love and mercy and compassion raining down in my life as I humbly sought Him. And on the days that I lose that connection, I find myself veering off into areas that are risky for me. And so really connecting with Him at the close of the day and acknowledging that power has been really important to me. Program really is a program that grows along spiritual lines, and I am undisciplined. And so being willing to allow my God to discipline me and to recognize what principles I really need to work on and a break in those principles creates unmanageability in my life. For example, being dishonest, even if it's just having a difficult conversation with someone, but, you know, shying away from that or not expressing feelings that are going on inside of me, or perhaps how much I've been spending, or just little areas of dishonesty in my life that seem to creep in, create a lot of unmanageability and dis-ease inside of my heart. And then in times of stress, we revert back to that which we know rather than that which we've learned to be true, which for me is I could eat something which will hold these feelings of dis-ease down in my gut. And so working on the principle of honesty every day is also a part of closing out my day and saying, how was I in my honesty today? And did I remain honest in all of my affairs? I'm just grateful for this program. I'm grateful for each one of you and your service and your shares today. It lifts me up. I'm grateful to be here. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Gaylene B. And Reggie O., please share with us.
Thanks again, Kathy, for your service and to everybody who shared and doing service this morning. It's really wonderful. So steps one and two, this is A, B, and C, or steps one and two, you know, that I was a compulsive overeater and I could not manage my own life. And boy, you know, compulsion, the first time I heard a definition of compulsion really that touched me, it was like an irresistible urge to perform an irrational act. And that's just the mental aspect, which is probably the most powerful aspect of the disease of compulsive overeating. But then there's the allergy as well, that there are certain foods and behaviors certain foods that I can't put in my body, certain behaviors that I can't engage in, compulsive eating behaviors, that cause this powerlessness, and I have to let go of both of these, but I couldn't do it, you know. And the compulsive eating led to an unmanageability of my thinking, my acting, my life. And I tried every human power to remove my compulsive overeating, and the most significant human power I tried was my own. And I tried my own power
or what I thought was my own power over and over and over again, and every which way, doing the same thing over and over again, certain, you know, insane behaviors with food and other activities, and coming up in the same position for years off and on, and even, you know, off and on in these programs, but with greater lapse in this program, with greater lapses in between. So no human power. So I had to find a power greater than human, and greater than this human or any other human. And I found it, you know, I found lots of wonderful powers, but the one that I found that could work with this through me and help me to recover from this was the power found in this big book in these 12 steps. And it has been amazing. And I did have to find a God, a higher power that I could believe in. That has been an enormous and long journey for me. And and I will say today that, you know, I do have that higher power, and it's a loving higher power that loves me through any and everything. And I yet work toward keeping a conscious contact with that power so that I can turn, you know, so that I can turn to that God, you know, any moment during the day. And so it's continuous. And but those are the first three steps. I'm ever grateful for this program, and just the life that it brings that is so amazingly different than, you know, the life I had before. So thanks. Really grateful to be reading this, going into step three, and I will pass with that.
Thank you, Reggie O. We have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Carolyn N. from Michigan.
Carolyn N. N or M, Carolyn?
N as in Nancy.
Thank you. And one
Chrissy
more?
M.
Chrissy M. Okay, go ahead, please, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn N., compulsive overeater from Michigan. The thing that's sticking out to me this morning is that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. I've only been in the program about 3.5 months. And boy, the longer I'm going along in the steps and the further I get into the program and talking with people, just that awareness of where I thought I was managing my own life, but I truly was not, and how much I need God's power to manage life. Only He, through me, is going to be able to work and to His direction, His, you know, relationship with me, helping me to direct my relationship with other people and the way that I behave and respond to other people. So I'm just very thankful for that awareness, and I thank those that helped me find that. Thank you for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carolyn N. And Chrissy M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Chrissy. I'm grateful, recovering bulimic and anorexic from Portland, Oregon. And I've really reflecting this morning on the unmanageability of life. And I think I'm coming up on 3 years of abstinence this summer. And it was clear to me when I came in that my food was unmanageable, that for me, my problems presented as bulimia. And it was clear to me that I was not able to stop. So that was clear. And I think as I've gotten abstinent and have been in recovery for longer, I think what's become more clear is how unmanageable my emotions and my relationships were in a way that I couldn't see. I think sometimes having an eating disorder, it's like we think it's about the food, but just like any addiction, it's like the food is a manifestation of a lot of unmanageability underneath. And as I become, like, continue to peel back the layers, I see how much, you know, like my emotions, how much my need to control, how much my need to, like, avoid conflict, how much my eating disorder was impacting my relationships, you know, and my job, me professionally, me as a parent, And one of the greater gifts that I feel like I've received is not only as I've become abstinent, my relationships with my kids have improved tremendously. My friendships have improved. And then professionally, I feel like I am a better employee. And so it's a good reminder to me of a lot of the different gifts of the program that I couldn't see in the beginning when I thought it was just about the food, that there's a lot of layers to this illness and this sickness. And any time, you know, we read in the big book that any time we feel, you know, fearful, restless, afraid, that those are all signs that we need to give something over to our higher power. And so I'm just grateful for the many gifts of recovery today, not only with the abstinence, but just the continued improvement in my own sanity and my ability to have peace and serenity in my life, and my ability to have better relationships with those around me as a result of my recovery. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Chrissy M. And now it's time to close the meeting. Thank you all for sharing and listening and being present to our shared journey of recovery. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Reggie O., would you please read A Vision for You? Are you there, Reggie?
Oh, sorry, Kathy. I couldn't get myself unmuted here.
Okay.
this is Reggie O again, gratefully recovered in outside San Antonio, Texas right now. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.